Oh, I see. They gave us two different ones.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it that way.
I don't care. And you heard about senior property tax.
The Joint Committee on Tax Credits will come to order after a short pause. Colleagues, we're going to have a very, very brief meeting today because the primary business before the committee is the Dash 4 Amendment to 3672 that is before you right now. It is literally hot off the press. It's still warm in my hands. And for the folks that are in the audience that are waiting with bated breath, the copier can only go so fast, and this came about 10 minutes ago. So it is in the process. Copies are being made. We were going to hold on to start the committee to have those copies be finished to distribute to all of you, but we thought rather than hold everybody, we would just go ahead. And our intention today is to recess to give everybody some time to go through this draft and look at it. The copies will be here shortly, so you're welcome to hang around. They'll be delivered to this committee room. And we would like to have any final comments on this draft in by noon, if you can swing it. And the hope is that you will help us help you by only focusing on new issues that you see in this draft, technical changes, errors that you see. If it's an issue you've already brought up, you can assume that we have read your comments and that we have digested it, and either A, we have tried to include it and it has not yet been included but will get there, or B, it's not going to get included. So please limit your comments to new things. is that a fair summary?
Sounds like they're buying it.
Well put, Mr. Chair.
We're all busy. We're just going to be blunt here. So, committee, we will hope that you will stand by to some degree. We know that you are extremely busy as you look over this, and we will meet at the call of the chair with a short notice to come back in and address other changes. But once again, we all have homework in front of us, and we're going to be working quickly on that. So, any other comments, co-chairs or committee?
Recess.
All right. With that, we're going to recess the Joint Committee on Tax Credits. Okay.
Well, that was exciting.
So I've asked for an amendment to be drafted.
Joint Committee on Tax Credits will come to order. And colleagues, thank you for getting here. We now have a quorum to open the work session, but members may be in and out as the needs of various committees and floors dictate. We're going to open a work session on, or reopen the work session on House Bill 3672. First, want to express thanks and gratitude to all the members of the committee and the stakeholders who worked very hard to get comments and to read through the bill and get changes and clarifications back to us pretty close to that noon deadline. We've pretty much done nothing but this since and have gone through the bill or the amendment in some detail and have identified a few other areas that need to be tweaked. Mostly technical fixes, a few policy changes. Chris will walk us through where we are on this based on the Dash 4. Just so there aren't any surprises, we will need to get to at least a Dash 5, and the intention is to work these changes overnight. And Chris is your best friend and Ledge Council, working very hard, and Paul, to get all of these changes incorporated quickly and to come back tomorrow morning with hopefully something that is close to final on where we need to be. So in that spirit, Chris, would you walk us through, and then we'll take some comments on it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just kind of marching through. I guess I won't touch on every piece, every change, because some of the changes are pretty minor. I guess starting with the the biomass tax credit change would begin in tax year 2012. Moving to the R&D credit in section 7-10, the intent, the applicability there, the change from $2 million cap to $1 million cap would be applicable for tax year 2012. The film and video, the applicability is going to change so that the current law cap is in existence for this upcoming fiscal year, and the auction, and consequently the auction would not take place for this fiscal year. The auction and the $6 million would first take effect the second fiscal year of the biennium. And I'm just kind of paging through here looking at my notes for highlights. Sections 18 and 18B, 18A and 18B on page 15 is the fish screening credit that's been added. And then on page 21, a handful of changes to the Jenny. Page 23, lines 5 through 10 are being deleted. It has to do with the auction process and tax credit certification. That's a clarification. Technical change on lines 26 to 28 about the taxpayer, that the credit allowed in any year shall not exceed the tax liability of the taxpayer.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, what page are we on?
23.
I'm sorry, that's why I wasn't finding it. Thank you.
Page 23, lines 26 through 28. It's just a technical clarification of the language. It will read, the credit allowed in any 1 year shall not exceed the liability of the taxpayer. Just basically saying it's a non-refundable credit. And the carry forward will be in the following subsection. On page 25, section 27, the definition of renewable energy production system.
Then why does it say this?
Yes. Representative.
The CPA is down here.
Sorry.
You let them sit together.
Well, 6A on page 23 is problematic for us, and I recognize the carry-forward language is in B, but 6A makes it a use-it-or-lose-it type credit, and I don't think that's the intention. Is that standard language that I've not seen?
The representative wrote the new language or the language that exists in the Dash 4?
I'm in the Dash 4, I hope. Yep, I'm in the Dash 4.
Yeah, line on page 23, subsection 6A, mm-hmm. is being replaced with language that will read, the credit allowed in any one tax year shall not exceed the liability of the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pulled from, that's made consistent with other existing.
I understand
that. Is
that
the end of the sentence?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, and then you're removing the may not be carried. Yes. Thank you. Somehow I missed that.
The intention there, Representative Brewer, and far be it for me to tell the CPA, but the intention there is that as we're moving on the Jenny to a system where we're pre-sailing essentially one-year tax credits now as opposed to a five-year credit that was issued to the applicant that could be carried forward, that 1 year in the pre-sale would be sold and then claimed in that year.
But it is allowed to be carried forward, though, under B.
Yes,
yeah, so it still can be carried forward, but 6A, without removing that last part of the sentence, was probably... Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Page 25, Section 27, definition of renewable energy production system. Biogas is being added to that list.
Definition of cost.
And the definition of cost on line 13, at the end of it will read, starting on line 13, applicant for the system before considering utility incentives.
And colleagues, I want to just make a quick comment here on section 27 sub 4. We received a number of comments back from stakeholders, and I just want to say this so everybody can hear it, around there was some confusion about solar thermal and whether or not that was under solar technology. In discussion amongst the committee, the decision was made that solar thermal will be called out and will be in the CONI. That is not, does not generate electricity, and therefore it is not part of the Jenny. So solar thermal is in CONI, not Jenny.
Hmm. Okay. On page 26, after line 2, there'll be added language, small d language will say the project must be located in Oregon.
Oh, good idea.
Good.
On page 27, line 15, the sentence, if construction does not begin within 6 months, is being changed to 12 months.
And I assume you're adding the IN to within.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Within. I assume you're adding the IN to the with, to the within before the word 12.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then moving on to page 29, the CONI. There's the statement about including solar thermal. On line 28, the last part of that sentence, but may not exceed the tax liability of the taxpayer, there was significant confusion about whether that was a transferor or the transferee, so that will be clarified. It's the person who can claim the tax credit. And then on page 30, relating to the, starting on line 8, the projects related to the LEED and Four Globes and so forth, lines 8 through 11 will now read, if the project is the new construction or total building retrofit, the Department of Energy may issue a credit against total project costs for, and then have that same list starting on lines 13 and all the way down. On line 20, the phrase under this section will be deleted. Moving forward to page 32, line 27 will read recycling equipment, products, and projects. On page 33, section 39, subsection 2 related to the tier system is being deleted. Line 24, the words costs and are being deleted. And then a new subsection, Section 39, will be added that pertains to projects where the energy savings benefit a party other than the project owner. On page 34, lines 10 through 12 are being deleted. This is language that followed up on Senate Bill 408 from a few years ago and was made unnecessary by Senate Bill 967 this session. Also on page 34, section 41, subsection 2, on line 19, is being condensed. It will read, standards relating to a replacement of inefficient equipment. Also on page 34, line 24, there's language reading development projects by the Oregon Innovation Council or a comparable third party. And that language appears several places in the bill. The phrase, the Oregon Innovation Council or a comparable, is being replaced by the word qualified. So it would read development projects by a qualified third party selected by the director.
And to be clear, Chris, that language would allow for the director to choose Oregon Inc. if it was qualified and that was appropriate. Is that correct?
Correct. That's still a possibility to go that route. It does not preclude that. On page 36, subsection 5 on line 20, pertains to a pre-certification lasting 3 years. Language will be added on lines 24 and 25, specifies that the 3-year expiration date is valid even if the applicant is awaiting identification of a pass-through partner. For what's missing in that section right now is language that says for those projects that are currently awaiting a pass-through partner, the 3-year clock would start on July 1, 2011 of this year. So that regardless of where they are or how old they are in that stage, that 3-year clock would start. And also added to this section would be a streamlining of the certification process. Basically, Energy would be allowed to waive a pre-cert process for projects costing less than $20,000. Page 42, section 49, line 11, the words certified costs for are being deleted. The concept there is it's the total amount of the potential tax credits that is subject to the cap, not certified costs. And then moving into the transportation, the tranny, on page 45, some word edits, line 17, vehicle fleets is being changed to vehicles. The definition of cost on lines 19 to 21 will be made consistent with the definition of cost on the prior page in section 53. Basically, it would be adding language about core expenses such as vehicle repair, fuel, personnel, and administrative expenses. The definition of transportation project on line 22. The word private is being deleted, and the word transportation on line 23 is being changed to transit. And after the word public, so it will read, transportation project means a public or nonprofit entity that provides transit services to members of the public and that receives state or federal funding for those services.
Or an alternative fuel vehicle.
Or an alternative fuel, yes. On page 46, lines 5 through 7 are deleted.
This is a call of the Senate. Call of the Senate.
We have a call of the Senate, colleagues.
No, it's not a call.
Just Morris.
Just Morris. I know where I stand.
Don't get too excited.
Vote no, Frank. Just vote no.
I'm carrying the bill.
Can't find somebody else to carry the bill?
Vote yes in that case. Good luck, Frank.
Jesus.
On page page 51, section 63, there'll be language added relating to a clawback to make it consistent with the CONI.
Page 53.
It's on page 51.
Okay.
51?
Yes, page 51.
What line?
Well, it's just in section, somewhere in section 63.
Okay.
63.
It'll be that there's language that's yeah, in clawback. The conservation credit pertaining to a clawback. That's not included here. That will
it
be
should have
consistent.
Been.
That should have been.
Okay.
And then for the residential energy tax credit, page 55, lines 26 and 27. The phrase after the inserted 6,000, the rest of that sentence is deleted.
On line 26.
Yeah, so the sentence will end on line 26 after 6,000. So the phrase that's being deleted is but the installed output that is used to determine the amount of credit under this paragraph may not exceed 2,000. That's kind of redundant. Once the 6,000 got put in there, it was mm-hmm. redundant. And then on back on page 54, line 12, after including equipment standards will be added to the list. On page 59, section 70, the words vehicle fleets is being replaced by vehicles. The word fleets is being deleted. Page 61, line 4, or lines 3 through 5, the definition of cost will end in line 4 after alternative energy device, period. The phrase that's being deleted is paid by the taxpayer for the alternative energy device. On page 62, the new definition for appliances up there in bold on lines 1 through 8. Jumping into the middle of the sentence on line 5, we'll read for electricity or have 0.67 or greater for gas water heaters, ductless heat pumps, high-efficiency furnaces that are at least 95% efficient, and gas on-demand water heaters.
I believe that's 0.67 greater energy factor.
Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Energy factor.
Yes.
And gas on-demand water heaters.
Yeah, and gas on-demand water heaters. On page 63...
How about calendar?
Yes. Line 19 will read, and specialty codes and any code adopted by DCB SBCD, the Department of Consumer Business and Services Building Codes Division.
Which, as Chris helpfully pointed out, colleagues, is the Department of Palindromes.
Enough time in LRO.
We have so much fun. These people.
Page 67. Definition of lines 19 through 24 is being changed so that they are not limited to 25 per year. That wasn't the intent. So the language is being changed there. And the intent there is the certification would occur in blocks of up to 25, but more than. They could come in from multiple blocks during the year as long as the program cap was not achieved. And Mr. Chair, those are, I'm sure I skipped over some of the edits, but that was the bulk of them.
Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about the effective date? We got a lot of questions about the effective date.
Yeah, on the last page of the bill, the effective date is the 91st day, and that's very different from the applicability clauses within the bill. The different changes to some of the credits have different applicability dates. For example, the one change to the R&D credit is applicable to tax years beginning 2012, And that is different from the effective date. The effective date is just when the bill becomes law. Within the law are different applicability sections for the different credits and so forth. So there was some confusion that there was some kind of immediate impact here. And the applicability depends on which credit we were talking about and which tax year.
Colleagues, on page 55, just want to call out some of the intention here. Chris walked you through the change, the deletion after 6,000 on 26 and then most of line 27. Then that bolded portion below where it says the State Department of Energy may by rule provide for the lesser amount of incentive as market conditions warrant, taking into consideration factors including the availability of bulk purchasing alternative energy devices. The intention here, colleagues, is that what we're trying to do on the RETC is get a hold of making sure that we don't get into a situation where there's a balloon or an increase in credits that we don't expect or that we don't see coming down the road. And so we've tried to take care of this in the third-party setting by defining what a third-party solar installer is and then applying that cap so it doesn't get away from us. What this is intended to take into account is those programs like Solarize Portland or some of the other Solarize programs where you have lots of homes coming in at once under a bulk discount. Because those are very diverse programs and it's the residents that gets the credit, not the installer that gets the credit, and it's a very difficult set of entities to navigate. What we're trying to do is give the department the authority to look at those bulk purchases and to say, hey, as the cost of that is coming down, we're going to reduce the incentive to take into account some of these bulk purchases and to be able to respond to those market conditions and that bending of the cost curve. A lot of the reason we have these incentives in the first place is to bend the cost curve and to bring down the cost of renewable energy. We should allow the department to take that into account as it's setting incentives, but trying to get a handle on the growth of these programs so we don't get into a situation where we're having to come back and address it in the future. Is that clear?
Mr. Coach.
Representative Wong.
On the issue of the effective date of the Act versus the applicability of the provisions that will go into effect, do we know whether there are pending applications that could be granted prior to 90 days after this thing is signed that would be therefore become invalid?
Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about that and some of the discussions around Section 1?
Representative Wong, a lot of that, Section 1 is on point there, and the current sunset of the program is based on final certification received by June 30th, 2012. Section 1 moves up that sunset date, and it's kind of a moving target right now in terms of how that is going to be applied, whether or not it applies to pre-certs received by a certain date or applications received by a certain date or even changing the final cert to a different date from what's in existing law. With respect to renewable energy projects, for the most part, the department has issued the $300 million in credits that it can. There's still some work that they're doing there, and they're kind of on the fringes, so to speak. And the additional $150 million that, under current law, they would be allowed to issue, that process wouldn't even start until July 1st of this year, under current law. So they haven't received anything for that allotment, if you will. For the conservation projects, they are ostensibly receiving applications every day for pre-certifications. There's not a current cap on that program or tiered system as under the renewables. So they receive those daily or something to that effect on a regular basis. They're still receiving and processing those. The change to the sunset, however it lands in Section 1, would have an impact on those pre-certs wherever they are in that process. And there has been discussions about the consequences of setting that certification, whether that deadline, whether it's a pre-certification or final certification, and where projects might be in that process, whether they've literally just submitted the paperwork for the pre-certification In that case, the pre-certification is supposed to be the first step in the process. So if they've just submitted the paperwork, they haven't broken ground yet. If they've received a pre-certification, at some point they may have broken ground.
Follow up. Thank you. I think I'd like for us to be very careful about those pending applications and mindful of, you know, any potential legal arguments. I don't want us to get surprised. So has LC been consulted about admin law and how this affects property rights, things of that nature, so that we make sure we don't get ourselves into trouble?
Representative Juan, yes, we have been consulting with LC on that, and that's an excellent point. And we have expended considerable time amongst the co-chairs and are still under discussion on Section 1 of what the best way is to ensure that people who thought they were following the rules of the game at the time and put shovels in the ground don't get the rug pulled out from under them on that. So the point is very well taken.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just be a little bit more legalese, because I think that it goes to the heart of your question. It's these tax credits are not regarded as an entitlement, and they're not regarded as a contract right.
Okay.
And that's the key thing here.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was the point I was going to make. I think when we think about these things, we have to switch sets from land use and building permit to tax.
Thank you. Representative Brewer.
Thank you. I have received some written testimony. I'm sure a few of us have. Section 10 has some ambiguity on application dates, and I just wanted to make sure that they're properly addressed. This is having to do with the R&D credit. A couple things. Section 10 having to do with the R&D credit, there's two application dates which I think are in conflict in there that just need clarity for the record. The first one being that the under Section 8, Sub 5, happens to be on the top of page 5, the add back of the deduction, that is commonly added back already, and I think the Department of Revenue does already require that to be an adjustment back. And Section 10 seems to make that addition back is only applicable starting with this act. I think it's ambiguous. The effective date of the 2011 Act and any subsequent year. So any prior years existing currently or prior could use this language to say the add back is not required. So I would like to clarify that for the record, that the add back is still there in common practice right now with the Department of Revenue. And secondly, because this is the applicability date for the R&D credit, the $1 million cap is, we need to clarify, is only, that $1 million cap is only applicable for tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2012. And I'm not sure that is clear in here because the rest of the language is having to do with the applicability of the add back and other things. So.
Thank you, Representative. We appreciate the clarification for the record. And as we are clarifying things for the record, Chris talked a little bit about the coming changes on page 30 to the section that talks about building standards. Chris mentioned this, but I want to make sure that it's clear of what we're trying to get to with that section. It is not the intention that we have, that we're setting out these rating systems such that if you were to, say, upgrade a boiler or upgrade a window or a door alone, that then you would have to get certification on the whole project, or that any individual component part would then require certification. What we're talking about here is if you go out and build new construction to one of these levels, or you do a full building retrofit to these levels, that the department may issue a credit to help offset all the costs that are associated with getting certified with the architecturing, with the engineering of those kinds of retrofits, but that it is not a requirement that's placed on those individual components of the building. So just want to make sure that that's what we're trying to get to. Great. Well, not seeing any other comments from the committee, is there anybody who feels the burning need to say things on the record amongst the audience and the stakeholders? We have not covered. Admonishments, stone throwing, clarifications.
For yourself, please.
From the chair.
Yeah. We confiscated all your rotten cabbages before you came in. Not seeing any, then I believe the intention is clear. We've all... yes, Co-Chair Berger.
Appreciate the respectful, helpful
comments that we have gotten and the folks who have very high stakes in this particular package who have come forward in a really helpful way, and that's the people in the room I'm talking to. This is very heavy lifting. I think we're all trying to get to the same place, and you've been very helpful.
Completely agree. Well said. Not seeing anything else, the committee is adjourned.